I think I can. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is, what is it? It is Friday, November 25th, Black Friday, the day we all dread. Don't go to the store today. It's interesting how we used to have Black Friday, and then we had Cyber Monday. And now everybody's realizing that since most people shop online, we don't really have a Cyber Monday anymore. We have the Black Friday, which starts on Monday typically because all the sale people trying to get sales going early. And then it's, you know, the whole month of November, really. It's early Black Friday. It's Black Month. It's what it is. Because they know you only have so many dollars to spend, and they're trying to get that, you know, you spend your money on their deals first. Oh, I better jump on that deal. Well, then now I don't have any money left to spend on these other deals on Friday. People still shop on Friday. So they go out and they shop. But mostly, there is a huge uptick in the number of people shopping online. So what they have now is Black Friday specials that last all weekend long online. So you can get your products, all the stuff that you have to have, all that stuff that you really need. You can't live without. You have to get there first. It's one man against an entire shopping mall. That's what it is. Anyway, good morning, folks. Welcome aboard the show where I tell you what I think about the news, because it's according to me. I scour the interwebs, not as a doctor or a lawyer or anybody who knows anything about anything other than what I know about what my opinions are. I'm an expert on my opinions. I'm the foremost expert on my opinions, what my opinions are, and I will attempt to share those opinions with you, like as if you care. So we have the end of the week here again, once again. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. As we move into Sabbath Shabbat, as the sun sets this evening, we will be in our day of rest. So we have the interesting news happening, and I'll get to that. I'll get to the interesting part. But first, I have to share something with you that's not as interesting to some of you. However, to others, it maybe is the most interesting part of my show. And that is, what's in my cup? I have a cup here that says Waffle House on it, America's place to work. I don't work there. So, or maybe it's Wake. Is that Wake? No, it's Woke. Wake? Woke. I don't know. Looks like work. America's place to, I don't know. Caution, contents may be hot. It's sweet tea with ice. It's iced sweet tea. I hope it's not hot. Nope, it's not hot. My regular place to go here is called someplace called the Barbecue Grill. And I usually walk for breakfast. I go down there for breakfast quite a bit. So this morning I went down there for breakfast and found out that they're closed. I think they were open yesterday and they're closed today. I'm not sure what that's all about. I remember seeing a sign in the window a couple weeks ago that said that they were going to be closed on, they were going to be open on Thanksgiving but closed on Friday. And sure enough, they were closed on Friday. They were closed today. I thought maybe I had gotten it backwards, but it really was what they said. The place was dark and there was nobody there. So there's a Waffle House right next door. And I went to that Waffle House. And I have to say that I was happy with the service there. Food was good and the service was excellent. They did a great job taking care of me there. So I was very, very pleased with that. The jukebox that the employees like to play was a little bit loud at times. But that, other than that, it was fine. I'm glad they get to play music and do their job. And they all seem to be enjoying themselves. So that's good. Some of their music was Christmas music, which was kind of fun. They were playing some Christmas music. Of course, Mariah Carey had to be, you know, played. Just because that's what happens, the whole thing. But, it was good. Good meal. That's got some good tea. The tea's not the most excellent tea I've ever had. For tea in Atlanta, I would say it ranks on maybe a scale of 1 to 10. It's about a 5 or 6. Just a little bit. They didn't quite clean. It's not quite as clean as I would like it to be. There, it has that little bit of that coliform bacteria taste in it that I love so much. However, it It's okay though. It's good. So I did that, and of course, then I climbed back up my flights of stairs. It takes me to get to the top. The 11 flights of stairs it takes me to get to the top of this hotel. So I did that, got to my room, and I am now here with you, talking about the choo-choo train, the little engine that could, or the little Joe that thought he would, but he didn't. There's an interesting scandal going on here. I think it goes deeper than what we're being told at this point. I think we need to be very careful what you're hearing from the news organizations and what you're hearing from the White House. Now, we're getting conflicting reports from Jean-Claude Pierre, Jean-Claude, KJP as they're calling her, because she's a rap artist, I guess, now, as well. The White House press secretary, the lady who talks at the press conferences. I'm not sure if she's actually, if that's her title, press secretary, or just press whatever she is. She has been stating emphatically and arguing with people that Joe Biden is directly involved, the former vice president, is directly involved in the negotiations with the railway workers. Now, you have to realize there is a law put into place back in the 90s, maybe, or 80s, 80s, 90s, 70s. I don't know when it was. I think it was 70s, actually. It might have even been in the 60s. Basically, this law states that railway workers can't just strike anytime they want to. Anybody in the transportation industry, basically, or the certain kinds of industries, are deemed to be too... our economy and our infrastructure is too dependent on them, and they can't strike because they are essential workers. You can't strike because you're too essential. If you're that essential, then maybe you should be making more money. That's kind of my theory on this whole thing. So you know, there should be some kind of commensurate amount of money based on what the cost of living is. It should just be based on cost of living, period, and not core inflation, not core cost of living, but actual cost of living. This is when inflation is almost 8%. Of course, we're being told it's flat. It's flat. Well, yeah, it's not runaway inflation. It's just really high inflation. 7.7% was the last thing I remember reading. Is the current rate of inflation right now 7.7%. Most cost of living wages increases over a year, if people get a cost of living increase, is 2%. It's actually sometimes less than, I think it's 1.8%, actually, it's based on that. So over the course of time, yes, your wages are going up. You got a raise this year. Yeah, well, that keeps up with the cost of living. It's this whole stupid thing of continuing to raise, you know, rates like this. And of course, the tax bracket does not fluctuate along with that. So if you have if there's a tax bracket increase at $25,000 a year, and they want to make the minimum wage $25,000 a year, you know, basically give you a living wage, they're moving you up into a different tax bracket. And of course, the higher the wages that you have in order to survive, just to keep your standard of living, the higher tax bracket you get into, and the less money you make as well. So then it just eats away more of your money. Recently, talking to a fellow that didn't understand that the whole thing of making, you know, by the time you get up in the $200,000 range, you're really only taking home about half of that, which most people don't realize. Like, the average income right now in the country, I think, is in the $38,000 or $48,000 a year, I think, is the average income of all jobs. And, of course, now, according to some people's math on CNN, I think I pointed this out a while back. I actually heard a guy say, that means half the people make more than that and half the people make less than that. No, that's not the way it works. That's the average. If 100 million people make $33,000 a year, and 2 million people make $12 million a year, that's the average. That's how it's averaged out. That average pulls up by the top earners. So that they don't get this whole idea. They don't understand what it means to be, I guess, to understand the average or the mean, how that's calculated. You add them all up and you divide it by the number of people, and that's your mean. It doesn't mean that half the people are, it doesn't mean it's the midpoint of wages. It means it's the average or the mean, the sum, or the sum of, not the sum, but the, yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. It amazes me that these people are making, I don't even know if they know what they're making. They're making six figures to be on television to tell you things like that. And it blows my mind that they're that ignorant about just normal math. These are the people who want to raise your taxes and make you pay your fair share. They need to pay their fair share. Most people who make ridiculous amounts of money, but and probably rightfully so. See the people who like Warren Buffett, who have all their money in investments, and they live the high life because they're living basically, you know, the corporate tax. They don't get personally taxed that much because they don't show much of an income on their personal income taxes. It's the poor guy who's out there working like crazy, who's paid a lot of money to get an education that affords him the skills and the ability to make a lot of money because he works hard. He makes a salary in the six-figure range. Maybe it's $200,000 a year that person working a professional job in management gets that kind of money. They got a lot of responsibility. Those are the people who get hit the worst. They're paying sometimes 45% in taxes. Is that fair? I don't think it's fair. Those are the people who are actually working. The guys out there are just making investment money. You know, their portfolio might be millions of dollars, billions of dollars. And they're personally not paying hardly anything in taxes because they're not drawing a salary. They're living in a situation where everything is paid for. It's a sham, is what it is. But of course, they're the big donors. They're the big donors to the politicians who make the rules, the tax laws. So we can't affect them. And this is what's going on right now in the current administration. We're getting these strange reports. Whatever her name is, Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP. I'll let her be a rap artist in this case because it's just easier to say her name. She has emphatically said that Joe Biden, former Vice President Biden, has been directly involved in the negotiations with the rail workers, directly involved. Now this is typical gaslighting. They're getting caught in their own gaslighting. Now they're gaslighting each other now, apparently. Because Joe Biden was asked directly if he was involved directly with the railway negotiation directly. And he said, no, I'm not involved directly. I'm not directly involved in that. Maybe he thought the question was, are you directly involved with your son Hunter, his involvement in the railway thing? He's, no, I'm not involved in that. I don't know anything about my son. Do I have a son? I didn't even know I had a son named Hunter. He's the smartest guy I know, though. So this is before the election. Now, Joe came out, made this big statement, a whole bunch of people standing to his left and to his right, and said that we have a tentative agreement. Now, you know that everything Joe does is portrayal. When he's giving his speeches, once in a while he'll double back on his little speech and he'll repeat himself. Because he's kind of lost in the speech and doesn't know where he's at. So he'll find some kind of thing that he wants to emphasize and he'll repeat himself when he says it. Now, he'll also do this little thing. It's a little body language thing where he stammers. There's a couple different body language things that are they're very big tells, actually. One of them is he stammers. He'll kind of stand one foot and then the other like he's just trying to be a down-home good old boy. This is all portrayal. It's not genuine at all. He's doing this as an act. He's trying to make it, he's trying to make it cool and easy and comfortable. He's kind of shifting his weight from one leg to the other, and he kind of goes back and forth, and he does this little thing where he's trying to, you know, just be real casual about it, like it's coming from his heart. It's not. He's reading it from a script that somebody else wrote, but he's trying to make it look that way. And he's also stalling for time because he can't figure out what he's saying. Now, he does another thing, and I've caught this a lot on a lot of different people as they speak. They will touch their face. Now, he tends to touch his face right next to his nose. There's a little place there where he touches his face. That is a tell. He does that almost every time he's just about to make a statement that he knows isn't true. A lot of people do this. There's a lot of things you could say about it. It's kind of this unconscious act of trying to get people to believe you. You're kind of trying to cover your face. It's this whole thing of, okay, I'm going to say something now I'm not too confident in. I need to touch my face. And this happens a lot. Now, there are genuine times when you've got an itch on your face and you got to scratch it. But this thing of all of a sudden randomly just touching your face like that and then pulling it back, there's this, it's an interesting concept. You can talk to body language experts about this. I'm not a body language expert, by the way. That's another thing on my list of things I'm not an expert at. But it's a very interesting thing. But he came out right before the election, and they had this tentative arrangement. Now, this tells you how close the unions are with the Democrat Party. They basically went to the union and said, we can't, you know, we have to get some kind of a tentative agreement. We'll go back to negotiating after the tentative agreement isn't for real. It's, you know, it's just a temporary thing. It's all for the optics of the camera, for people to think, oh, there's, you know, the economy is solid, and they came up with a tentative agreement, so that's all good. So we'll go ahead and vote Democrat again. They didn't want any kind of crazy, and it did kind of help stabilize the inflation at the moment, because there was this uncertainty in the U.S. economy at the time, and that agreement gave them the kind of this moment of stability. Now the election is over, you know, obviously. And all of a sudden, they are nowhere near any kind of agreement at all. Funny how that worked out, that they just had this tentative agreement right before the election, and now all of a sudden, it's nowhere near that. That all fell apart. You know, and the question is Joe directly involved? Well, Corrine says yes. Joe says no. Who do you suppose is correct in this particular instance? Joe could be directly involved and not even know it, probably. That's the problem we've got with that. He's probably getting texts all the time and answering them. He doesn't know who he's talking to. Or he's talking to people he doesn't know who he's talking to. He just doesn't realize what he's negotiating. And that could be true. They could both be right. Joe may be being honest because he doesn't know. And Corrine could be honest because she knows. I have the feeling Joe, in this case, is the one that's being honest. I think their definition of direct involvement is where we have the problem. The direct involvement, directly involved, well, her, because this is what she said. He gets briefed every day, and he makes comments every day on what's happening. So, okay, that's great. You're getting briefed every day. That's direct involvement? I watch news reports every day. Am I directly involved in Ukraine? That just makes no sense whatsoever. So they're getting caught here a little bit in their own gaslighting technique. Now, recently you probably heard about this. I think was it in Colorado again? There was a shooting where this guy went into a, let's say, alternative bar. And, or a bar that is known to be a place where people living in alternative lifestyles have a tendency to go. And he went in and shot up the place, and I think he killed four or five people. unfortunately. Very deranged individual. Anybody who does that is just insane. Okay, it's just, there's no, right away, the news media on the left, the leftist radical gaslighters, came out immediately and started accusing politicians and pundits. And this goes beyond just accusing them of any kind of indirect involvement. They want them punished. They have literally come out. I'm going to try to find some audio. Of course, they tend to scrub this stuff after the fact. Try to find the audio of these people making statements that these people should be prosecuted. So people like, and they blame Tucker Carlson. They were naming names. Ted Cruz, Tucker Carlson, all these people that are coming up with all these names. Jim Jordan and all these Republicans they were coming out against. They incited this. This right-wing MAGA guy came in and shot them all up. Then we come to find out in the court filings, this person prefers to be called they and them. Is not a MAGA person at all. Is a person, apparently, according to court filings, that is involved in the trans community. So that whole narrative fell apart. Now, of course, there was a panel where someone on CNN, this person on CNN came out and they had this little panel, there's four or five of them there. And they were talking about this, the fact that this guy came out and filed that he's, you know, wants to be called they and them. Well, the one guy at the end of the panel, who ironically, he's an African-American individual, but he sounds incredibly, if you had your eyes closed, you would think he was Neil Cavuto. Again, the timbre and you know, the way he speaks sounds so much like Neil. It's almost unbelievable. Has the same kind of timbre in his voice even. This is the same thing as when you hear Kevin McCarthy and you compare Kevin McCarthy to Justin Trudeau. It's the same this and that. And it's a very condescending way of speaking between the two of them. Now, this other guy was not that way. Neil Cavuto is just more of a... Personally, I think Neil Cavuto is a... everybody thinks he's a nice guy. I think he's... just by the way he talks, I think he believes he's extremely, you know, he's the smartest guy in the room. I don't know. The ego comes through in very strange ways sometimes. And sometimes someone can pretend to be very humble and actually have an incredibly large ego. This guy on this CNN panel was talking, and I thought, boy, who is that guy? I just heard the audio initially, and I thought, that sounds like Neil Cavuto. And so I found the video of it, and of course it was not Neil Cavuto, because he wouldn't be on CNN. And this guy makes this statement. He says, well, it just sounds to me like someone who's trying to come up with a defense against a hate crime. Oh, so he's not. You're denying this guy. Or this person, you're denying their right to call themselves what they think they're supposed to call them. You can't, you know, you're all of a sudden you're not respecting what they want to be called in their gender. That's just their defense. All of a sudden you're the judge of that. This is where we go with this stuff. It doesn't work unless you're on their side. Go against their particular agenda, and all of a sudden you find out that you're not. Their standards are not the same. It has to do more with their political agenda. So this is what's happened, and this is the kind of thing. This is the kind of gaslighting that we're put up with here. And this is what we see when we see people right now, what they're trying to play out right now in with regard to the whole railway strike, potential strike here right before Christmas. So the moral of this story and the general rule here that we have to keep in mind is get out there and buy your stuff now before the shortages happen. I think, didn't we just hear about this? Was it last year? Shortages? Buy your presents early because the shortages are coming. Here we are again, another season, and it's buy your presents early because the shortages are coming. You might not get your Nintendo or whatever they're selling now. I don't know what the latest box is. Huh? So, of course, we have this deal where most of these shootings, when they first happen, of course, they will never post retractions on any of their stories after this stuff happens. They won't come back and say, you know, we were wrong about this. This wasn't a MAGA person. There was also a gunman, I think, in Virginia, I believe. And at first, this was going to be, of course, this was some, you know, radical MAGA guy went in and did all this stuff. Of course, they turn it around. They turn it from a hate crime into, nobody should have guns. Now, Joe Biden recently, I think it was over the weekend or over this last week sometime, he said something about, there's no reason why anybody should have semi-automatic weapons. No reason on earth. He went on and on and on why there's no reason for this. No reason for people to have semi-automatic weapons. So everybody should be carrying revolvers? Does he even understand what a semi-automatic weapon is? Does he understand that fully automatic and semi... There are regular hunting guns that are semi-automatic. Pistols are semi-automatic. You can have a semi-automatic handgun, semi-automatic rifle. Just means every time you pull the trigger, it automatically reloads. Doesn't mean continues to shoot if you hold the trigger down. However, I believe, personally, I think people should be allowed to have those kinds of guns, which we are, actually, but you have to go through this process of having a federal stamp, which costs you a lot of money. It's kind of a ridiculous amount of money to pay for something like for an automatic weapon. But you can own them. It is not illegal to own an automatic weapon as long as you have the right federal stamps and all the tax. Basically, it's a tax that you have to pay, which in my opinion it's an infringement. I can't buy it because I can't afford the tax. Well, now that's an infringement on your right to buy it. That's my opinion. And yes, people can, you know, they always make this argument of, well, people had long rifles back in, you know, back when they had muskets, you know, back in the time that the Second Amendment was written. You couldn't own a cannon. Oh, yes, you could. There were plenty of people, especially on the East Coast, who had their own cannons on their property, pointed outbound to anyone who would encroach their property because of, you know, the revolution was going on. Then we had the Civil War that went on. There was people then even had cannons on their property to protect against one side or the other. Yes, yes, Joe. It's always been the case where there's been no restriction. When the restrictions started happening in the 1900s. That's when the major federal restrictions started happening. Before that, there were no restrictions. You don't have whatever you want. But that's not the way they would have you believe, and that's, of course, that's the gaslighting, that's the changing. If you look at 1984, the movie 1984, it is an interesting play on what happens with the whole memory hole thing and the industry around changing history. And the more we put things online, the easier it is to change. Wikipedia is a good example of this. The number of people who can change things on Wikipedia is becoming a very one-sided storyline that you will get from most historical data on Wikipedia. It's very dangerous because history can be changed that way. Whereas history books, when I was a kid, you know, you had history books that were passed down to the next class or whatever, and sometimes they'd come out with new books, and historical data was there. It was kind of preserved. You couldn't just change it willy-nilly. So one of the reasons I don't really care for, I do use an online Bible app, but I still have my other Bible, the Bible in print, because they can't hack that. They can't change it. Whereas they can do that with my Bible app. They could go in there and make some small changes and people wouldn't really notice it too much. And before you know it, they start editing out all the politically incorrect stuff. You know what the end of the Bible says? One of the very last verses talks about anyone who takes away from or adds to. Well, that's not too good. That's not a good sign if you do that kind of thing. So here we are with this Railway Act thing happening. And it's very telling. It's very almost, it is almost a picture and a snapshot of the way this administration works, the way politics work in general in this nation. The whole optics, the way they play up one story and downplay another, or don't report a story and report another story, or have a narrative to a story that they want to report. It's very, very dangerous in this age of easy media manipulation. And people's attitudes are very easy to manipulate because they're not paying attention. Majority of people out there are, got their headphones on, listening to their music. And of course, the messages in the music are one thing as well. And of course, they get the sound bites and they get these little blips and things that the news media tells them. And they trust that. They don't really do any investigation of their own or any other, they're not listening to the truth, first of all. It's kind of like I don't know who said it or whether it's even true or not, but there was a time, I believe, that people who in the federal government were looking for the FBI, the investigators who would look into, they were kind of in the fraud division, and they were looking for counterfeit money, counterfeiters. They were kind of in charge of going after counterfeiters. And the way they would find counterfeit money was that they would study the real thing. They knew the real thing well enough to know when a counterfeit came along. They knew, because you can't study counterfeit money, because that's always changing. But you can study the real thing, and when a counterfeit comes along, you can look at that bill and you can see a certain thing, earmarks, like Russian earmarks, on this thing, and you know when something's not right because it doesn't look right. It's something they didn't. There's details there. Knowing the details, knowing the truth, studying the truth and staying in the truth and abiding the truth, you'll know when a lie comes along, when the falseness comes along, or when they try to manipulate you with truth. You know, when Jesus was taken up on the pinnacle, he was many times he was tested at the end of his fast. And he was tempted. He was given this temptation. Every time, the enemy would basically quote scripture to him. He would come at him with some kind of twisted truth. Well, doesn't the scripture say this? And he would come back with, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." It's a very interesting exchange that goes on here, and there's so many layers to this exchange that he has in this moment. And boy, I could go on all day about this, what happened there in this whole instance where he was at the end of his fast, what happened. But it's very, very interesting that he lays out the truth properly to confront what was twisted in his face, this temptation he tried to get, just like he did the same spirit that tempted Eve in the garden. Did he really say this? You can't eat. Well, it's that kind of thing. It's that same kind of, this little compromise here. Well, does it really say that? Does the scripture really say this? Does he really mean that? That's the kind of thing we get a lot. And the world plays into that. People who aren't Christians, I find, you'll find these people on CNN and MSNBC they'll be the first ones to say, oh, I can't believe that person's a Christian. They're doing that. Oh, for a Christian to say that. Oh, you know better then, huh? So you're a Christian. That what you're saying? You're a believer? You're a better believer than that other person? All of a sudden you're in charge of judging these people? It amazes me that they will throw those kinds of principles up. They'll throw your religion up in front of your face to confront you, but yet you know. I don't like that. I don't like it when I see Christians throwing Islam laws up in front of somebody's face when they're not obeying them. You can put the truth up in front of their face or you can challenge them in ways like people who don't like the Islamic religion and how, you know, in some countries they throw gay people off of buildings, and that's okay. They publicly hang people for doing things that are against their law in the streets. They still have stonings. These are the people that the leftists are standing up for. It blows my mind. Over here, you'd be canceled. You'd be, you know, just the fact that everything is racist. Racism over here. It's become that to that point. Black Friday now is a racist. Even just using the word black or anything that is black is supposedly, if you acknowledge it or say something's black, that car is black. Oh, you're a racist. That's how ridiculous it's gotten in some instances. And I'm talking about the radical, wacko leftists. And I'm not talking about necessarily black people. I'm talking about the white, virtue-signaling nutcases. It's off the rails. But there you have it. I'm getting into the weeds here. So, not what the show was about. So therefore, we know that the Railroad Act could be a very big problem. Now, Congress will probably get involved with this whole thing at some point because they can invoke certain laws and keep the railway workers from striking and all kinds of things, because they'll probably do it and make it tougher for anybody else in any other union with any other issues. So here we have it. We'll see what happens. But I digress, and I will pull back now from the rant that I'm on. Once again, folks, going into the weekend, hopefully you have a wonderful weekend. Hope you have more time to spend with your family. Hopefully you're not traveling too much. Hopefully you're just home. People are home. And you get to reconnect with your family and friends and those that you care about, those that are in your life. Once again, thanks for listening, subscribing. I will be back on Monday, hopefully. Maybe on Monday. I might have a show I might have to record a show on Sunday night. I do have something to do early in the morning on Monday, and it's going to be a very busy day. I'll be in St. Louis, and I'll be doing some things there and traveling home immediately afterwards. So it may be Monday evening by the time I have a show, but it could potentially be a Sunday evening recorded show that I post on Monday morning. We'll see how that goes, but go from there. Not making any guarantees. And I know you're paying a lot of money to listen to this, so I'm going to try the best I can. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great weekend.